And welcome back to Brainstorm Brewery. This week you have some hosts who really don't know how to clap in sync. That's what we've learned so far tonight.
That's because we're white. We have no rhythm.
Okay, is that what it is? I think we're all just very dumb tonight. But anyways, I'm Corbin Hostler. Welcome to the Brainstorm Brewery. I have with me Jason, and we have a special guest back this week.
Is that Jason?
Jason's the guest going on 200 episodes now. No, welcome back, DJ Douglas Johnson, the guest seen on like his fifth episode in a row because he won't go away.
That's your fault, not mine.
I mean, it's something we all have to live with at this point, though.
It's Stockholm Syndrome at this point, I think.
Isn't it sad that we can't find a better permanent guest than you?
I do know what that is.
Because you didn't know what gaslighting was, so I wasn't sure if you knew.
Well, I'm sorry I'm not up to date on all your hipster terms, man.
It's from the 60s or something.
Yeah, that's a pretty hipster thing to know, you child.
Are you not that old?
I'm not that young. That's the difference. I'm not young enough to think that the 60s are this really cool thing we have to go back to.
1938 play. It's a play from 1938.
So you think the 30s are the same as the 60s?
I first learned about this like 4 years ago in an intro to psych class, okay. And you obviously didn't.
All right, child. Because I went to school for a real degree, okay?
Yeah, how's that working out for you, mister? I don't know how to use Audacity.
What, this is what you do when you have a broadcasting degree. You don't know how to use Audacity. Anyways.
That sounds accurate.
Let's talk about Magic this week. Kaladesh is out. Pre-releases were great. They were last week. You can head to release this weekend. The set, I think we all agree, is a lot of fun. A lot of good stories came out of the pre-release. A lot of inventions, if you were lucky. So, were you guys able to make it out to a pre-release? What was your impression of the set?
I attacked some guy for 32 with an electrostatic pummeler, so that was all right.
Which card is that?
It's the 3-mana 1/1 bulk rare where it comes into play, gives you 3 energy, and then you can pay 3 energy to double its power and toughness at the end of the turn.
I made a joke about it, and I said they accidentally printed it with a gold expansion symbol as if it were a rare.
Oh. That card seems all right.
As if you got a lot of energy, it just seems...
It's a lot better and limited than I thought it'd be.
Very inefficient.
The guy who I beat complained that it was super overpowered, which it obviously wasn't, because he let me get up to 15 energy, then crack him upside the head with it by pacifying his last blocker, but...
that's a lot of energy. I never had that much energy. The best I did... My deck was kind of sweet. I went 4-0 at the Midnight pre-release. It was the only one I got to play. I had Aetherworks... All right, Marvel? Reservoir? The 4-mana thing that lets you look at the top 6 cards of your library and cast one for 6 energy. And I even got to live the dream one game with the
Wait,
turn...
should you read the card? Should you read the card just so
everyone... No, we got those out of the way.
Read Aetherworks Marvel.
Yeah, it's Aetherworks Marvel.
No, come on. For the people in their car, Corbin. Read the card.
Well, everyone knows them now, man.
For the people crewing a vehicle.
Okay.
On their way to work.
For all those out there crewing a vehicle, Aetherworks Marvel, which, by the way, has actually gone up from $5, $6 at pre-release to $8 now. I think this is one, and I could be wrong, I think this is one we said to keep an eye on around the Pro Tour or further on into the set. But 4-mana legendary artifact. When a permanent is put into your graveyard from play, you get an energy. Tap, pay 6 energy. Look at the top 6 cards of your library. You can cast one from among them without paying its mana cost. Put the rest on the bottom of the library. So I had the green common that for 2-drop artifact, when it came into play, you got 3 life and 3 energy. So I got to play it on turn 2 and sack it on turn 3, and it has the same effect when you sack it. So I had 6 energy on turn 4 when I played Aetherworks Marvel. So you get to live the dream there. That's how you cast
off of that, like a 4/4?
I think I got one of my big fabricate guys in the middle of his combat or something. You know, got like a... The 6-drop, I think, is the one I hit, which is actually a really fortunate hit.
The Marionette Master.
So that was sweet. But yeah, I went 4-0 with a red-green deck. I sided into a black-white deck, and I played against an opponent who was really living the dream. He had 3 of the Vampire Whitehawks, if that's what, you know, the colloquial term for it is now.
Aerial Responder. It looks like Peter Dinklage in a balloon. It's awesome.
Yeah. Plus 3 of the Uncommon Gravedigger that is black and white in the same deck. And he played all 6 of those in a game against me, which I won somehow. So that was a good story.
Restoration Gearsmith. Yeah, because that guy sounds like a cheater to me. I don't think
you
get 3 aerial
cheater,
responders
man.
And 3. You know what? I don't know him, so I'm going to call him out. This is even at the Midnight pre-release. I've seen people trade their pools with their friends, like, oh, if you're not going to play white, just give me your arrow responder, and I'll give you my Pima Outrider or whatever. Like, I've seen it, man. So you got to watch out for that. But, I mean, it's a pre-release, so what are you going to do? Like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I
would rather just, like, lose to that than accuse a dude of cheating. So
yeah,
sometimes that happens, and the Midnight pre-release doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I doubt that, you know, any of that went on. I mean, that was a fun match. I also had another good one where I was able to hijack, which is basically the threaten of the set, a Cultivator of Blades, and then use a pump spell on the Cultivator of Blades and attack with really big creatures and kill him, thanks to stealing his guy. So fun matches. I really liked the set. I thought that Fabricate Servos played really well. Energy seems great. I got to pass out Pokemon Energy cards to everybody to keep track. That was fun.
One of my friends cast turn one Mana Vault, turn two Sky Sovereign.
Well, that's good. You win that game.
Lols.
I got to draft this set, and it's fun.
Can you even crew your Sky Sovereign at that
flyers.
Point?
I don't know how to... If any time there's a new set that I've never played before, I just try to draft Blue-White Flyers. And I opened Aetherstorm Rock in my first pack. So that card's as good as I thought it was going to be, but I don't know if it's good enough for Standard. I was really excited for that. It just seems oppressive, but if you don't get enough energy, I guess it's a little bit weak. But just being able to tap something that can block a flying creature and grow the creature, just it gets oppressive. I ended up with the aerial responder. I ended up with two long-finned sky whales, and even the glint nest crane.
That card's
is
nuts.
Dumb.
Yeah.
So, blue white flyers is just it's good in every format. They always make it. They give you just enough stuff. Sometimes you play some stuff like pressure point or whatever because you need 23 cards. But
how many cloud blazers did you have?
I had zero cloud blazers.
Cloud Blazer's the dream, man.
It's going to be the... I don't know. I played with a lot of potheads growing up, and they used to... I was like, I'm a Burning Tree Shaman, so I'm sure Cloud Blazer's going to be the new...
You know what? I honestly had not considered that. Ever. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. You might
have heard of them. There's a person on Tapped Out who built an entire EDH deck based around card names that had silly weed references. I'm going to see if I can find it.
That's so dumb. Dumb.
Kudama the North Tree, man.
But so let's talk about some of the breakouts from the weekend. I think Smuggler's Copter was one that Shaheen Sarani, who was our guest on the set review last week, did not like. But you should go listen to the episode.
We
he had
all
a lot
didn't
of great insights.
Say anything in support. Shaheen came from my Smuggler's Copter, and I believed that he was a better player than me, so I didn't speak up.
Well, he is a better player than you. That part is true.
Yeah, for sure. I tweeted, like, a week ago or, like, before that, saying, hey, I can't believe Smuggler's Copter is this cheap. The fact that it's this cheap makes me think I don't know how to evaluate Magic cards. And I've never known a Smuggler's Copter is good, so when someone's like, ah, three toughness creatures are going to be bad, I don't know. I didn't argue. So, we probably punted on Smuggler's Copter. The card is probably... But, I mean, if you didn't buy them at, like, $1 or $2 when they were first spoiled, like, I think you missed out anyway. So by the time the set review came out, I think it was too late to make any... Unless they go to, like, 15. But that was a card I thought was pretty good, but I let, you know, myself be talked out of it because I have no confidence in my ability to evaluate stuff for Standard.
Well, I honestly didn't
think... So I don't know what I got to do to get my groove back. But I guess it's not playing Standard.
Well,
for
I honestly
sure.
didn't think it was that good. I thought it was, you know, fairly mediocre. Like, it's fine or whatever. Like I said, if you're not getting anything out of the Madness on it, you know, it'll shut down an aggro deck or whatever. But it just seems it seems like it can be clunky. But it is also true that you can play Thraben Inspector into it and have a blocker on turn two, and then start, you know, setting your hand up on turn three, etc. So
it's hype spiking, I think. So there was probably... I don't think you would have gotten these in time if you pre-ordered to, like, turn around and sell them. But I think just hype alone is going to make you wish you'd bought them earlier if you do end up needing them. So this could be a $10, $12 card, especially based on how the PT goes. So I don't know.
But if you have them right now, I think...
draw cards, so...
Yeah, they do. But I don't know. It could be... It could be Shaheen was right, and this is just going to, like, eat it to every removal spell. There were some other cards I'm sure we missed.
He was right about
everybody
Torrential
seemed
Gearhulk.
To...
Yeah, that card's nuts.
That card jumped from, like, 4 to, like, 8 for the past week.
Yeah, so
that's
we may
good.
Have missed
I mean,
Suncopter, but we definitely got that one with his help. I mean, that card is going to be very good, I think, in the long term.
I would like to see Demon of Dark Schemes do something, but that's just like the EDH player in me. Like, oh, it's six mana? Good, that's on curve. Where I start playing stuff.
Right.
So I don't know. I probably won't play much Constructed of this set, but I'm going to play as much Limited as I can, and I'm definitely going to take all the ridiculous EDH stuff from the set. Like, there's way more than in a typical set. But I feel like I've been seeing that a lot lately. It's just, I feel like they're designing cards with EDH in mind the way they never have before. Instead of accidentally making a good EDH card, now they're making the stuff on purpose. And I think Gonti and I think Rashmi are just stupid. So, I don't know, man. This is it's a good set, and it's got something for everybody. I can't wait to kill people with Aetherflux Reservoir.
Yeah, that will be fun for sure. So we're coming up on the Pro Tour now, a couple weeks away in Hawaii. As people, we'll get our first taste of Standard this weekend. I believe there's a Star City Open with it. So we'll see. I haven't seen people have some ideas, but it does seem like there's not necessarily, a given, of card here that is just gonna take over. Whereas when, Shadows of Rinnishrod came out, it was, Mono White Humans, Archangel Avacyn slots in. This is just clearly the deck. I don't think that's the case this time around. So the human decks are still very strong, but I think that it's a little more open. So it'll be very interesting to see where things go. We also have, this is somewhat related to the release, at least, of Kaladesh. The Banless announcement came out. And it left some people disappointed and some people very happy because there was nothing there. No changes in any format.
We just got unbans, though. Like, I don't know what people expected.
I think most people think of Modern, first off, and there are some crazy people who are talking about unbanning Stoneforge, unbanning Bloodbraid. They've even heard unban Jace. The usual talk of people who've convinced themselves that something's good. And what's more and more interesting to me is this is something that's come about. You think about, those of us who have been playing a long time won't have noticed it, but Bloodbraid Elf has been banned for a while now. There's a lot of people who play Modern who look at that card and don't understand why it's broken because they've never had to play in a format where it's legal. And I think that's very interesting. I think a lot of the chatter over that card in particular, same with Stoneforge, is coming from players who have not played in formats with those cards. Maybe Legacy, and I think Legacy doesn't count because it's so unlike Modern or Standard or Extended where these cards dominated. That's just my take. I mean, where do you guys fall on that?
I'm not going to necessarily assume that the people are saying something dumb because they are inexperienced. I think they could very well have played in a format when Bloodbraid was legal, and they're just stupid. Just so dumb. So
I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Anything out. Yeah, let's not rule anything out. They could just be just the dumbest.
I guess that's technically true, man. You're right.
I mean, Jund's not even really a deck, so we can give Jund Bloodbraid, right?
it's true that when you look at the it looks so ridiculous to be on there until you understand it in context.
To be fair, without context, Blazing Shoal looks pretty stupid to be on there.
You're right.
The people who have been playing Modern for long enough know what that card does.
To remember the tournament it ruined.
The first Pro Tour, yep. There were a lot of stuff that were in that first Pro Tour, but yes.
That was my favorite. Blazing Shoal was up there. Wizards video, or not Wizards videos, but like Walking the Plains videos, where like Sam Black is talking to the camera and he says, Inkmoth Nexus, go. That's your format. Good job, Wizards. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. On that note, for those who may not know what we're talking about, because again, this was like 5 years ago, I think, that Modern came about and Pro Tour Philadelphia happened. But Walking the Plains, Nate Holt, Sean Kornhauser, they went there. They had not been to a Pro Tour. Obviously, these are very casual Magic players. And they just made a video about the event. And the catch line, the way it ended, very high-quality work on the camera by Sean and in front of the camera by Nate. But it ends with Nate just screaming, Infinity Fairies! Infinity Fairies! Because Splinter Twin won the Pro Tour there, which was great. And it started the whole Walking the Plains series. And the reason I bring this up is because they just celebrated their last episode of Walking the Plains. Definitely want to give those guys a shout out. They do a great job. Those Walking the Plains videos were so good. I think they really have added a lot to Magic, and done a lot in the way which we can visually tell stories. And I'm excited. They're not done by any means, even if it won't be walking the planes. So I'm excited to see what they have next.
I'm sure they're going to really appreciate the boost from a bunch of guys with 1/100th of their viewership.
The Brainstorm Brewery bump. It's real. Hey, the people who listen to us may not be the people who know about that. Obviously, these are the same guys to be a little more recent, who did the Enter the Battlefield documentary, and I think most people will have seen that. So
it's on Netflix.
Yep.
So
definitely go check that out.
If you don't have Netflix, how are you going to watch Luke Cage on Friday? Oh, today, shit. Woo.
Living in the future.
Turn your car around. You call into work. You go home and watch Luke Cage, man.
What is the show? I don't know anything about this.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's a spinoff of Jessica Jones. It's Jessica Jones season 2, basically.
Okay, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I still have to finish Stranger Things. I actually was like the first Netflix original series I've ever watched.
Well, that was a good one.
I have two episodes left.
You can only watch one. Gets real good at the end.
Oh, excellent. But anyway, so the other format, though, that was left out in the cold here was Popper in the Banner Restricted update. And I don't know how relevant this is to our listeners. Popper is not really much of a thing in paper. It is a thing online. So if you're Magic Online, this is definitely something to keep in mind. But there was no Peregrine Drake ban, which a lot of people thought was going to come. The Familiars deck, the Storm deck that has been around for forever in Popper.
Corbin, you could get fired from TCG Player for saying that, because TCG Player employees are a huge fan of Popper. I don't know if you know this, but it's played a lot at the office in Syracuse.
Yeah, well, it's just not. I mean, Popper's great. I actually think it's a sweet format, but
they need to pay their employees more.
One of the local stores here tried to run regular tournaments for it, and they just had a hard time getting the scene going because it's just hard to build interest in it. Because at some point, it's not even that cheap, right? If you want to play Oubliette, it's like a $25 card. So then you might as well just play Standard, which has been on
place. Plus, it's a really unfair format that feels bad. If you're an experienced Magic player, you're like, yeah, I played Legacy and Vintage. Popper's fine. But people are like, oh boy, finally an affordable format for me, a broke student. And then it's like, you're just getting comboed out on turn two. You're like, why?
Nobody gets comboed out on turn two. I don't know a lot about the format, but I know they don't get comboed out
like
on turn two.
It's like turn four. The Peregrine Drake deck kills you on like turn four, usually.
Yeah, Peregrine Drake being common, like, they had to know that was going to.
Well, it's crazy. The stupid Storm deck or Familiars deck or whatever you want to call it has been around forever, and they just kept banning cards, and it's still a deck. It's just nuts.
But I mean, if when you're in that format, that's the best thing you can do. So they're going to find a way to do it, and all the commons that get banned, there's another common of approximately the same power level that you can probably find in Magic's long history, so
I guess
it's hard to power level ban something that, you know, when there are a ton of cards ready to take its place.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Even with fair decks, my best friend plays Boggles, and you can get attacked with like a 13/5 first strike trample lifelink hexproof on like turn four. So that's a format.
Are people playing Rabid Wombat in the Boggles deck? Because I really want that.
I don't know what that card is.
I don't know what that even
Rabid Wombat was like a 0/1, but it got 2/2 for every aura on it.
Oh, Aura Gnarled.
Well, Aura Gnarled was a 3-drop, and it was a 2/2.
Oh.
So Jason may be talking about the card that inspired it.
Oh, no, I'm looking this up now. Rabid Wombat. That deck does not play that card.
Well, it would if I were at the helm. I'd lose, but I don't care.
It would if it weren't a Boggle deck and was just a deck that played little guys for no reason. But as it turns out, Boggle decks have something very specific, and it's called Hexproof.
Right. I'm going to read the card just so that everybody knows what Rabid Wombat is.
This is what you need in your life, is some Rabid Wombat.
It's a 4-mana, 2/2 green, summon Wombat, 0/1. Attacking does not cause Rabid Wombat to tap. Rabid Wombat gets +2/+2 for each creature enchantment on it. 5th edition Legends and Chronicles. Go buy them out right now.
You get those Chronicles copies. Those are the good ones.
It was in 5th, wasn't it? Oh, awesome.
Jason, you're old, man.
That was a card. Back when I was a Kashtar, that was one of my favorite
cards.
You
are old, old, old. No one else here knew.
I started playing
meant.
In 1996.
That's older than DJ, right?
I was born in 1994.
He was born in 94.
Ooh.
So DJ was 2 when I started playing Magic.
Close.
Magic is older than I am for
DJ is a baby and Jason is old. And I'm happily in the middle. I'll take it. Anyway, so speaking of being in the middle, let's talk about cards that are not bulk but are not worth a lot. Breaking Bulk time.
That was a great segue. I know, thank you. Saying something that added absolutely nothing.
I appreciate that. I've been working really hard on my segues, and I thought that one was pretty top-notch. So this is for people who don't know, and coming back around, this is the segment of the show where we talk about a common or uncommon that is not bulk, but is often found in bulk, and you need to pick it out because it's worth money. So who wants to jump in first?
All right, I'll go. So this one might be a little bit obvious. I try to make these kind of hard or unique or obscure usually. But for those who don't know, Moon Mist is $1.50-ish just because of werewolf stuff coming on the back of Shadows over Innistrad and Eldritch Moon. If you get the chance to purchase original Innistrad bulk, Moon Mist, and to an extent, Full Moon's Rise. Full Moon's Rise is not quite a dollar yet, but it's still worth picking out. But Moon Mist is the solid, like, $1 card that you're going to want to pick out along with your Delver of Secrets and your Invisible Stalkers. So it's a casual card, but it's definitely a solid dollar and 75 cents-ish on a buy list sometimes in a good day.
That's actually a really good one. That's something I knew was, you know, on the rise because obviously that's a thing we see a lot.
Was it on the Full Moon's Rise?
That's... That was good. That was
you're
good.
Fired.
That was good. Oh, I liked it. That was a good
one. You're fired.
Anyways, it's something we see a lot now where new sets bring back a theme and it spikes all the stuff on the old one. You know, we saw it with Eldrazi. We saw it with zombies. We saw it with allies. And then that's a common. I mean, Emmerwolf is another that moved a lot because of those being printed. So that's a good pick for sure.
Yeah, and it's a card I find just a big clump of.
Yeah.
And bulk's like, oh, here's 15 Moon Mists. Like, it paid for the bulk. It's crazy. I got one that I don't know if it was a fluke getting. So I want to run this by you guys.
Okay.
I got a collection. In it was a playset of Footsteps of the Goryeo. I said, I bet Footsteps of the Goryeo is a pick. It's actually the third most expensive card in Saber.
Yeah, it's a modern deck.
Yeah, so I'm not going to count that one because that's a $2.50 card. It's dumb. I shouldn't get that in bulk. Bubbling Muck is a card that I think is going to go up from its current 40 cents. It's definitely a pick.
I love that
it's
card.
It's 80 times the bulk rate, so first of all. But yeah, Bubbling Muck gives you a lot of black mana. I think people are going to want a lot of black mana to play Gonti because Gonti lets you cast their spells using black mana. So you just have to come up with a converted mana cost. So I think there's a lot of stuff with upside from Gonti decks. But I mean, everyone's like the obvious, hey, we need Cabal Coffers and we need, you know, Urborg and we need, you know, Phyrexian Altar. But no one's really thinking of crap like Bubbling Muck. I see people play Dark Ritual in EDH. I'm like, I why would you? It's always a Dark Ritual. But sometimes Bubbling Muck is, it's a black High Tide.
It's Sorcerer Speed, though.
You're not comboing off on their stupid turn.
No, I get
turn.
That.
Like,
I'm just
yeah, you're Gonti.
Being pedantic.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's a sorcery speed black High Tide. So it's like 40 cents, and I pull fistfuls of these out of bulk. Like, you go to your LGS, they're probably like in a box, like a nickel card in this box. So Bubbling Muck is definitely a pick, and it's somehow still people don't know about it.
I did not know about that. That's true. but it's because it's a sorcery. Yeah, it'd be way better if it was an instant. But it's...
I mean, not for what it's currently being used for.
I guess, yeah, that's true. Okay. I'll jump in, and this is one that you actually have an opportunity to pick up pretty easily right now, although you have to be a little patient on it, because it was in Conspiracy Take the Crown. That card is Juniper Order Ranger. It's Ooh. An uncommon that was originally from Cold Snap. It's... 3 generic, white and a green, or white and a green, yeah, 2/4. When a creature comes into play under your control, put a 1/1 counter on it and a 1/1 counter on Juniper Order Ranger. So this enables some amount of combos. For instance, you know, a Kitchen Finks combo makes, you know, it can gets it going, things like that. Very good card, right? It was $1.50 before the reprinting Conspiracy, and it also was reprinted in Dual Decks Knights vs. Dragons. Both the original and the Dual Decks one are over $1 on the uncommon. But the Conspiracy one's only 35 cents. Now, I think we talked a lot about how much Conspiracy would be opened, and it actually seems like maybe there wasn't as much open as we thought, given the timing and the fact that we've already seen some cards from the set begin to rebound, which leads me to believe that this has some long-term viability. Or at the very least, if you find them in Cold Snap or Dual Decks, there's still a pick. But 35 cents for the Conspiracy one, I think that this is something you want to keep your eye out for. And, you know, if you're setting stuff back from Conspiracy for several years down the road, this is a pretty good one. It's a little questionable because Cold Snap was basically just not open. You know, it's definitely a card that was worth money due to scarcity, though it did have a Dual Deck reprint. So it's possible that Conspiracy just printed it into the ground because... you know, there were just so few of them before. So we'll see. It'll be very interesting, actually, to see how it recovers. But at the very least, something you should have your eyes on. It's a pick. Breaking Bulk. The end.
I like that pick a lot. And if you're interested in going deep on them, you can actually find them for about half of 37 cents or whatever the mid is on TCG Player. There's stores with, like, 50 copies or 30 copies or whatever for 18, 19 cents. So it's not something I would go deep on, but if you're that confident in the card, then...
50 copies at 18 cents with the possibility it could hit a dollar?
Yeah.
That seems fine.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a dollar, you get 50 cents for them. You'd have to have a lot of copies to make any money. That's I think, the concern there.
I mean, there are 50 copies from one seller, though, so you're only paying shipping once. You're only worrying about one package. Like, it's not too, like, big of an investment, and you just leave them in a box for a year or two.
Yeah, it is definitely sort of a free pick there.
I might buy all these. Hang on.
All right. So while DJ,
that's not how we do it.
Buys his Juniper Rangers, that's how good my Breaking Bulk pick was. But let's talk about something else that came about this week that might have the potential to impact a lot of prices. This is what is known as the Frontier format. It is M15 forward, non-rotating. Basically, everything with a hollow stamp onward. This is a format, quote-unquote, that a big store in Japan ran a tournament for last week. And it got a lot of attention online, and people started talking about it, you know, as the budget replacement for Modern, or supplement to Modern, I think might be a better word than replacement. But the idea is there's just so many of the cards from 15 forward that it'd be extremely affordable compared to, you know, Modern. So I have a lot of thoughts on this. Mostly that I think it's Tiny Leaders 2.0. But what do you guys think?
We predicted this. I mean, everybody predicted this, but we kind of said, hey, you know, once Modern becomes like Legacy is now, there's going to be something that comes along. And I think M15 with the hollow stamp forward is a perfectly logical spot to start the cutoff. So I kind of think this was predicted. This, if somebody hadn't done this now, it, like, Wizards would have toyed with the idea in 4 years anyway. It might not even take 4 years. So I kind of think if you're playing it now and it's in, like, buying speculatively, I think you're dumb. But I think eventually this is going to be a thing. But I don't think you're going to make any money buying it now. So I would leave it alone. But I kind of think this is the future.
I think this is the future, like, 5+ years from now, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Mark Rose, I know we can't, like, take Mark Rosewater's tweets or Tumblr post as Bible, but he posted something along the lines of, like, we have no interest right now of creating another replacement to Modern.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Supplement to Modern. Yeah, there's a Tumblr post somewhere of, like, there's nothing in the works right now or in the near future of new format creating. So, and he worded it in, like, a way that nobody on Reddit could possibly contrive it as something else. So,
like when he tweeted, when they were, like, so asked, when there was a Tumblr post asking about, you know, future constructed formats, he's like, I'm confident we'll make a new format in the future. And everyone's like, that means Eternal's going to exist. No, Reserveless Legacy. These are real thing. Confirmation from Wizards.
Yeah, there was basically a response to that where he basically laid down the law and said there's nothing in the works now or in the near future of, like, 5+ years. So, like, maybe 5+ years later... we see something when there's more cards and when, like, the whole New World Order thing is completely established and, like, maybe certain Modern cards are, like, $200 or whatever and every deck costs $1,500, then they make a new format to supplement that, but not anything you need to be worrying about in the next 4 years.
Yeah, and I don't think this is even going to create Tiny Leaders traction where people start buying cards. It's just not going to happen. It's just...
Never cool... underestimate the power of dumb people that want to adopt the next thing.
Sure.
How excited they're going to be to throw their money away on something. Sure. This probably will create Tiny Leaders-esque hype. Maybe. But you'll be just as wrong.
I wouldn't be surprised if this just is just completely... Like, we're talking about it here. I think if we hadn't talked about it here, nobody would have missed it. I think 6 months from now, no one's going to care or know what this thing even was. But, I mean, it is worth talking about to give it its due in case... It's a thing, but this is for the record, this would be a terrible format.
Oh,
This is a format with, because it's weird, you'd only have cons fetches. The mana base available to you would be very weird. You'd have like Treasure Cruise, Dig Through Time, Jace Friends Prodigy, Fetch Lands. You'd have no Shock Lands, but you basically, in my opinion, have Jeskai, Dark Jeskai from last year's standard. As the dominant deck. I'm sure there'd be some sort of Siege Rhino deck.
To put this in context, this is literally standard plus one block plus one core set.
Yeah. And it's a weird cutoff. Like, there are no Theros cards in this format, you know? It's just so... It's just
no
bad.
Thoughtsies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're playing with no Thoughtsies, so whatever combo decks, if there are combo decks, because that really isn't a lot, it's just going to be ridiculous what...
And there's no ban list. I don't...
Collected
it's,
Company,
it's cool that they did
Rally
this,
the
but
Ancestors,
like,
best deck.
There are no combo decks because we didn't print two card combos after,
no,
like, the
there's Rally. There's Rally the Ancestors, and there's no Graveyard
I get that, but I'm... Rally's not a deck that, like, gets hit by Thoughtseize, though.
Right. But there's no Graveyard Hate either. There's, like, Tormod's Crypt, that's it. You don't have... Right, you just have. It's just a terrible format, right? Rally the Ancestors.
Here's what they
should
do: they should do every single card with a holo stamp on it. So, Modern Masters, Eternal Masters, Commander, all that stuff's legal.
Jeez,
Conspiracy.
That would be a nightmare to keep
track
of.
That would be a fun format.
That'd be really interesting. It'd be a nightmare to keep track of, though.
Conspiracy, please. Anyways, it'd just be really bad. So even if we're talking about, you know, sort of the other incentives, the costs, things like that, the format would be horrible. So,
nobody cares about our assessment of the format as a playable format. They want to know if they can make.
But
any
I think
money
that's part
cards.
Of it is that it's horrible. Like, we're talking about whether or not people will adopt it. If it's not fun, they're not going to adopt it.
Tiny Leaders
is
horrible
you guys
too. But people
buy.
Still bought cards
There's
for
nothing...
it.
Yeah, that's true. There's nothing you want to buy for Frontier that, like, you're not going to want it for Modern, mostly. Like, what it would be, like, stuff that was good in Standard isn't playable in Modern, but could be good in Frontier just because of...
Well, for instance, you should be doing this anyways, but...
Rally Ancestors? Yeah.
Well, but, like, Collected
stuff
Company.
Stuff would go up if it was any good.
You know, like, Collected Company is obviously at a bottom, but it's good forever. So, you know, like, you'd want to get all your Collected Companies, but you should be picking them up at the bottom in the next few months anyways, so... Anyways, I think that I wanted to touch on and make sure we were on the same page on that one. But so I think we agree that there's not a, as it stands right now, not a financial opportunity. All right, I'll take that as agreement.
I just don't want you to talk about it anymore.
Let's talk about picks of the week then.
How long has it been since somebody told Corbin to shut up as a meme?
As a meme.
I think it's been too long.
Like years,
we have listeners
probably.
Here who don't even know that meme.
Shut up, Corbin.
Oh, okay. You did it.
Only cast members can tell Corbin to shut up.
Which is
Isn't Corbin the only
you.
Cast member left because
we're
both guests?
You're both guests. Ryan and Marcel are gone.
Like
nobody has the power to tell me to shut up anymore. I can say whatever I want. You guys want
to
talk
I've
about
listened
some cool
to more
stuff?
Episodes of this podcast than Corbin, so that should give me something.
Dude, I got lots of... Now nobody can tell me to shut up. I can talk about some of my favorite things. Like
I think I've listened to more episodes of this cast than Jason has because I was a listener for, like, the first God knows how many episodes.
Seven episodes. Wait, no, nobody can tell me to shut up. Let's talk about Merfolk at Buffalo Wild Wings while drinking a Bud Light Lime. What do you guys say?
I think I want to leave this podcast to focus on Money Drift.
I have no response to that.
No response. That's how you beat them down. Beat them down till they accept.
That's the Corbin Hostler of discussions.
Sure. Anyways, I'll let the guests go first. Why don't you guys give us your pick of the week?
Pick of the week. Pick of the week. Pick of the week. Time for the pick of the week.
Jason, you can go first.
Okay. This card is so obvious, it feels like cheating to point it out. Before it was reprinted, this card was like $5-6. Then it saw a reprint, and then it went right back up to like $4. I think it's not done going up. This card, of course, is Crypt Guest, which, if you look at Nirkana Revenant, which is, I think, $47 million. What's Nirkana Revenant like? Like seriously,
it's expensive.
It's like 20. It's like 15 to 20.
Yeah, it's I want to say I looked at the price today. It was like 22.
Nirkana Revenant is the mid price is 1979.
Yeah, that's insane. So so you got Crypt Guest. It's like $2 right now. It's gonna be $5 again, like very soon. Because it was $5 before. I don't think the reprinting's gonna be enough to keep it down. Because if you I don't know. You look at other cards that were like $5-6 and then they got cut in half by a commander reprinting and then they're like back up. And you're like, man, I wish I'd gotten on this train earlier. Well, here's your chance. Crypt Guest is like $2. It doubles your mana. It has extort, which it's non-trivial. Like, if I don't know, man. Some decks want to gain life. All I'm saying is I think if this can be compared to a $22 mythic, you know, it's like, what, 19 mid-price? Mm-hmm. I think this at $2 seems like a slam dunk, because this will be $5 again probably in a year. It just does cheaty stuff. I think Gonti's going to be very popular, and Crypt Guest is a very big part of that deck, and I think you can get these very cheap, just because, you know, everyone's like, oh, this is, you know, reprinted into the ground, and no one's really noticing it creeping back up. So that's a card I'm really super passionate about. I think if you can get it under $2, it's an absolute steal. It's a $5 card very soon. And everyone's going to be like, hey, when did this hit $5? I don't know. Like, when you weren't paying attention just because you're like, oh, whatever, it got reprinted into powder. We were upset about this when it hit like $1, you know? Yeah. And this is a perfectly good time to pick them up. So that's one of the two cards I noticed this week when I was talking about Gonti stuff that just seems like it's so obvious that, you know, it's cheating. So if you want to know the other one, I guess read my article this week.
All right, so I like to pick commons and uncommons, like Jason likes to pick EDH stuff. And these are two cards that have mostly gone under the radar. They are similar to two other cards, which Corbin and I have talked about a lot in the past. We have been very strong on Glistener Elf and Blighted Agent, and we both still are. We both still have a lot of those cards, and one day, someday soon, those are going to hit $3 each, and we're going to make a lot of money. But two cards that are similar to that are Blight Mamba and Carrion Call, both of which have seen play in the green-black Infect deck and sometimes see a little bit of sideboard play in the green-blue Infect deck. I'm not suggesting you go out and buy a bunch of these, but Carrion Call is the instant speed Infect creature or spell that makes two Infect creatures, so it gives the deck a little bit more leeway into playing on the opponent's turn and playing two Infect creatures than just winning out of nowhere. And then Blight Mamba is the regenerate one that lets you play a little bit more of a long game. So these are two cards that probably won't see another reprint if they dodge a Modern Masters 15. And they're just foils to watch out for. Like Ichor Claw Mirror foils, $3. The non-foils, $1. But Blight Mamba and Carrion Call are both completely bulk, both foil and non-foil. So just pick out those when you're picking Scars of Mirrodin in bulk. They're commons and uncommons that won't see the light of day if they get dodge another reprint.
Those are really good picks. I actually was just picking some Ichor Claw Mirrors out before we started this cast, and I'll throw Necropede onto that list as well as another Infect card that makes the cut. All those cards are actually great pickups because there's the crowd that plays, you know, mono green Infect, and it plays some more of these artifact creatures like Ichor Claw Mirror because they don't have the money for the blue version. So that's a real thing that makes those cards worth money. It's a great pick. I'll round us out here. I've got one that I think we've probably, you know, certainly touched on in the past, and I know we've certainly talked about this card a lot, but not necessarily in terms of something to pick up right now. But the time has come. Eldrazi Displacer. We've seen the bottom. It bottomed out at $3 6 months ago, at about $3.50. You can pick them up for around $4 right now. It's been slowly rising. This is the floor. This is insane with all of the Gear Hulks and Standard. It's insane with Sky Sovereign and Standard. It's insane in EDH Forever. It's insane in Modern with all of its Eldrazi friends from Oath of the Gatewatch. I think that all of those Eldrazi from Oath of the Gatewatch, mainly being the four big ones, Thought-Not Seer, Eldrazi Displacer, Reality Smasher, Matter Reshaper, and you can, you know, throw the green one, the Worldbreaker, into that list as well if you'd like. But these cards are forever going to be modern playable in this deck. There's some debate as to whether Ban Eldrazi might actually just be the best tech in modern. So they're going to go up. They have all these things going for them, and it seems like we've hit the floor. Plus, they may spike in the meantime in standard, especially Displacer. And if it does, if Displacer spikes to $10 in standard, it's not going to hit $4 again. It's going to come down to $5 or $6 at the lowest at rotation, and then continue to go up forever due to modern
ADH.
There's
so many formats ready to play.
Yeah,
it.
So
yeah.
I think, you know, if it does nothing, if you pick them up now and it does nothing in standard, you know, you basically could get them the same price 6 months from now or a year from now. But if it does hit in standard, it's never going to be this low again. So I think, you know, the time has come. Eldrazi Displacer is the one I like the most, but really all of the Eldrazi cards out of Oath are in it for the long term. I think that the value in Oath of the Gatewatch as a set, given how little it was opened with where it came in the year and all these things, I think it's going to be pretty good. You know, there's, you know, Kozilek's Return is modern playable. Kalidus is modern playable. You know, Thought-Not's insane. It's got the creature lands in it. It's got a lot going for it, I think. Goblin Dark Dweller is modern playable as well. I think it's got a lot going for it long term. So, not to mention Waste. It's the only set where you can get Waste.
Eldrazi Mimic's another one there, too.
Yeah, which is weird because it's basically bulk. It's not really played in Modern anymore because the aggro versions of that deck don't exist anymore.
But it could be.
It could be, yeah. It certainly is. I mean, it's bulk. So if something came along to make that a possibility again, it's something you have to be ready for. So may as well set them back out of bulk. But yeah, that's my pick for the week right there is Eldrazi Displacer.
I mean, that was a card we've always said, hey, keep a look at it. And I think your analysis is good, Corbin. I think it's probably never going to be cheaper.
Yeah, I think we do a good job of saying cards that, hey, this is a card you need to watch out for. At some point in the future, this is going to hit this, and then you need to get it. And we maybe are not quite as good at actually following up when it's time to you know, pull the trigger. But in this case, I think it's pretty clear that this is when you need to move on Eldrazi Displacer.
Card's done.
I can't ever keep these in stock at the store. You know, I'll put 10 of them in inventory. They'll be gone the next week. So there you go. What else we missed this week? Any big, what are you guys' plans for the next couple weeks of Call of Dash? Are you going to get to any standard playing, any events, anything like that?
I'm not a nerd.
I haven't played in a standard FNM since Duskmantle Seer was legal, I think. And that card
I don't
was a
like to play
mind.
Magic.
I like standard right now.
I do have a standard brew put together. Deploy the Gatewatch, casting 18 Planeswalkers in a single deck.
Take it away. No more.
If it's for FNM, that's fine.
I'm actually I'm going to Grand Prix Dallas in November to play Magic. It's modern. I am pumped. I want to play Merfolk, obviously. I have my full Merfolk deck that I would love to show off. Merfolk's not great in Modern at the moment. Some of the meta changes. So I need things to either swing back around, or I might have to consider playing a different deck. But I'm pretty excited to go play Magic. And Grand Prix experience is something that I don't get to do very often.
I'll probably just draft the set, which I'm fine with.
Energy feels a lot less clunky to me than I thought it would originally.
Yeah, it's an additional resource to manage, but hey, you just carry around your little Pokemon energy card and you're good to go.
I mean, you don't really manage it. It's like sometimes you get it and then you're like, oh, okay, I guess I can attack somebody for 30.
And like the removal spells that like let you choose a creature and then get the energy, and then if they like pump their guy or like blink their guy or whatever, you just get to keep the energy and not do anything with it, that's really good.
Oh, is that how that works? Do they choose on resolution? Yeah.
It says choose target creature, then whatever, whatever. And then so you can like harness lightning their guy in response to a giant growth that you're like, okay, never mind, I'll keep three energy and deal zero.
Is that really how that works?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It says then, so the clause means they get...
Well, I thought that it would still mean you choose your creature, then you choose to pay energy because it has to work that way because you get the energy, then choose to pay based on all of your energy. But then the spell goes on the stack with X energy having been...
Nope.
declared.
It adds energy, and then you calculate how much you want to use on resolution.
Oh. Wow, that makes those cards way better. That's really good. I'm glad you brought that. That's actually a really good note for limited. Like, I went to the pre-release last weekend, which I judged and didn't know that. So
yeah, I'm, so like,
I not in an official capacity,
like,
but
Art Halavay tweets stuff like that all the
like,
time.
Like, I cast Die Young on the little monkey that like makes itself indestructible or whatever, and so he blinked it with the blink spell, and I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll keep the 2 energy and save it for later, and that's the game I ended up winning with the giant freaking 32-32.
Your opponent was super salty then, huh?
Yep.
Huh. Well, I learned a little something about Magic tonight. I like it. Good to know. All right, so everybody on our way out here, guys, tell people, since you're both guests on this podcast, tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, so my name is Douglas Johnson. Everybody calls me DJ. You can find me on Twitter at Rose of Thorns. Every Wednesday, I tweet out hashtag breaking bulk stuff while I'm sorting, trying to get through sorting around 500,000 bulk commons and uncommons. You can find me on Quiet Speculation behind the Insider paywall, where most of my articles revolve around bulk commons and uncommons. My most recent article dealt with the expedition effect on Kaladesh and how it will deal with its bulk. You can find me on Facebook, League of Legends, Reddit, pretty much any form of social media.
Jason?
What?
Nope. Nothing then. Cannot find Jason.
What do you mean nothing? How could you not find him? I've been on this podcast for 200 episodes. Like, I don't know. Type Jason Alt Magic into Google. Oh, look at all that shit that popped up. He's everywhere. He writes articles. I don't know. I'm on Gathering Magic and MTG Price. And
All right.
I'm on Twitter. Thousands of you follow me. Thousands more would actually probably benefit from following me because all I tweet are funny jokes and stuff about EDH finance. So,
how many of those followers are fake Russian followers?
All of them.
Oh man, I manually deleted all thousands.
No, so many people don't know. Back in the day, we were making Jason was whining about Twitter or something, and someone's like, "I'm gonna show him," and they bought him 1,000 fake Russian followers.
No, I said I was gonna get to 3,000 followers before Sigmund Osfresser did. And someone's like, I said if I did, then I would do a giveaway. And someone's like, all right, here you go. They bought me 1,000 followers.
And Jason.
And I was like, cool, look at my followers. And then Marcel's like, man, that makes us look bad. I was like, okay, well, you can delete them. But I ended up just like.
So Jason had to delete them all manually one by one. That's great. I love it.
It took 1,000 seconds. It was the worst
thing
ever.
Oh, it took way
happened.
More than that, buddy.
No, it didn't.
Oh, but it did, man. You had to load that page up. Sometimes it had to take a few seconds to refresh. You wasted literal minutes of your life at that, man.
I should have just kept them.
You should have. You could have used them for Cookie Clicker, which I think happened around the same time.
It's like $5 per 1,000, right? Like, just like bulk.
Yeah. No, bulk's less than that now, man. No one can afford to pay $5.
3.5. I pay 3.5
for bulk. I pay 3 these days. I used to pay 5, but even the places where I would ship it to after I was done with it, all these it all has just come down. There's just so much. I mean, I think the bulk rate's down to about $3 a 1,000 now. But anyways, all right, I'm Corbin. You can find me on Wizards of the Coast event coverage. You can find me on TCG Player, where I do a bunch of work and have videos out every Monday. Right now, you can go look at the set review of Kaladesh up on the website that I participated in with most of the other writers on the site, where we scored every single card in the set. You can see the averages. You can see the comments. It's all the set review you want, all in one place. So definitely go check that out. But yeah, you can also find me on Twitter at chaser88. So we'll be back next week, and we will have some more Brainstorm Brewery for you. I might even have these two guests back. We'll see. Until then.
That's the least funny running gag that's ever.
No, it's a good. Oh, I bet you think it's not very funny. Okay, good one, man.
You're right, though. It's not funny because you think it's funny.
The ice cream bowl, Corbin.
Bring me back the ice cream bowl. I'm off that ice cream. I'm living healthy now, man. You want the price gun? Can the price gun? I'm sitting here trying to price cards while we cast. Before we cast, I can bring back the price gun and just, you know, give you a little bit of this. Is that what you want?